Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Second time since the All-Star break, the Nuggets lose at home to the Phoenix Suns as they fall last night. And Michael Malone singled out the biggest culprit in the loss.
The offensive rebounding has been by far our Achilles heel since the All-Star break. I think we're 29th in second chance points allowed. And against that team, they don't miss very often. So when they do miss, you have to secure the rebound to give yourself a chance on the other end.
It has cropped up a few times.
Early. Last night, a bunch where it just is, you know, you're not quite clean rebounds, so you're trying to tip it to yourself. It leaks out, and somebody takes a wide open three, and it just is, it's frustrating when they finally, when you create a miss, you play good enough defense, and you got to play good enough defense twice. It just is hard. So, anyhow, that was just a real sore spot watching it.
The good news is, that's an effort thing. Rebounding.
Yeah.
Especially defensive rebounding.
Yeah.
It's an effort thing. And once you get into the playoffs, effort's not going to be a question.
Correct. Desperation won't be a question like it was last night.
Right.
There was one desperate team, and there was one team that is like, hey, man, 14-2 so far from the All-Star break. We're good.
Yeah. Hey, it's not that the Nuggets went out and overlooked Phoenix or were flat. I buy the idea that the Nuggets, whether it is just the own standard that they have set for themselves or the idea that they do want the number one seed, maybe a franchise record in wins, I get that they're still motivated. I don't worry about them being motivated the rest of the season, but occasionally down the stretch here, you're going to run into an opponent that really, really needs the game. And Phoenix, for a team that's trying to avoid the play-in tournament and avoid being in the play-in tournament and being in a position where if you lose one game, you're out. Yeah, I think there was a level of hunger, desperation there that the Nuggets just had a tough time matching, at least here coming down the stretch in the regular season.
Whoops, that's not what I meant to do.
Second down.
That's what I meant to do. Broncos assign receiver Josh Reynolds. Is this a move that simply is the Jerry Jeudy replacement, or is this move a precursor to trading Cortland Sutton?
No, I think it's more of a replacement, more of it, you know, the routes and the things that I want to throw in my offense for Sean Payton. Here's a guy that fits a certain route tree. And you know, we'll get into this as we, what do we do today? Is it what the film says?
What does the film say? Coming up here in about 40 minutes, it'll be you breaking down Josh Reynolds on film.
Yeah, I'll give you a more in-depth look into what Josh Reynolds does well and kind of sometimes how I go about studying certain guys, the routes that they catch.
Okay.
Because everybody has their, you know, there's very few guys that run the entirety of a route tree. Most guys have specialties, if you will, in what they run. So we'll get a good breakdown, but I like him. He's a good football player. He really is.
Third down.
Rockies open up their season tonight in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. The National League champion Diamondbacks. The Rockies go in with the expectation, according to the wise guys, that they will lose 100 games this year. Mark, are you predicting 100 losses?
Yes.
Yeah. I think, 62 and 100. Would you go over 62? So 63 and 99? Or would you go under 62?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, they're losing 100 games this year. It's just a matter of whether or not they're
over under.
It's just a matter of whether or not they're 60 and 102 or 62 and 100. Somewhere in there. Do they get to 60 wins?
Do they get to, okay, that's good. Over under 60. Where do you go?
Boy, you know, this boy, this tests the theory because it's always been said in baseball forever. Even the best teams will lose 60 games. Even the worst teams will win 60 games. It's what you do with the other 100 games that will determine what kind of team you are.
Right.
And I can't say for sure this is a 60-win team.
Yeah, if I had a pick right now, I'd go the under.
Under 60?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
By the way, I think I texted Bud Black yesterday, and he can jump on at some point.
Good.
Talk a little bit about opening day and how special that is. So,
and we're not going to beat Bud up, because this isn't Bud's fault.
No, I love Bud. Bud's my guy, so this is going to be a very positive, rah-rah, let's go Rockies.
Yes. You might confuse us with the Rockies flagship station when it's all said and done.
One, two, three.
Fourth down.
I'll ask him a couple of direct questions. Avalanche tonight. I love these. I love looking for these matchups coming down the stretch when you're just... It's like I was looking forward to last night's Nuggets game for the same reason. You just... I think I speak for all the fans out there. You just want this season to be over. You want to get to the playoffs. That's the fun thing, right? But this one tonight stands out because the Avs playing the New York Rangers in what could easily be a Stanley Cup preview. Rangers are good. Chris Drury, the guy there in New York putting that team together.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll see if the Avalanche can bounce back from their loss the other night. Rangers in town.
Is that
lots
where,
of obnoxious New York fans will no doubt be invading the lower bowl.
Is that where Georgie got traded from?
Thanks to loyal Avs fans selling their tickets.
For the Rangers, right?
Yes.
So this is a little vengeance is mine, says the Georgie.
Yep. How about this? We were talking about over-unders earlier.
Yeah.
Number of times Georgiev goes for the water bottle tonight.
Well, I say they give up 3 goals. So 4-3 win Avs. So
3 times he douses himself with lots of water.
Yeah, and then there's going to be a couple other times where he's just thirsty.
It happens.
Like, there's a break, penalty.
Yep.
I am parched.
By the way, speaking of hockey, college hockey, good luck to the Denver Pioneers later today as they're playing in the NCAA hockey tournament. They are a number one seed in the Northeast, playing in Springfield, Massachusetts against UMass. So... see how that works out, but good luck to the Pios. And good luck to all of you who have a second chance because your brackets are busted. Don't worry. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Just go to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game today at 5 o'clock. So for all of you with ruined brackets, I am one of you. This is a welcome second chance. So good. Up next, nobody can speak sports injuries better than Mark Schlereth. So I want to know, Mark, if we need to start being worried at all about Jamal Murray. Okay? That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless bill and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday morning. What's trending coming up in about 13 minutes, in about half an hour. Mark will tell you what does the film say when you look at Josh Reynolds, the new Broncos receiver that they signed yesterday. In the meantime, I need your expertise.
Okay.
I bow to you.
Yes.
When it comes to your ability to read athletes' injuries.
Okay.
Like you've been... on Gabe Landeskog from the start.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had this thing nailed even when the reporting around it was kind of murky. You've nailed it, okay? So I got to ask you this. When Jamal Murray missed one game, I was like, load management. When he missed 2 games in a row, I was like,
well, okay, you know, this is what Malone talked about, the big picture, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to sacrifice health for...
Right.
But then I thought, you know, Phoenix is in town. It's got that kind of playoff vibe to it.
Right.
The Suns came in here a few weeks ago and beat you on your home court. I really figured that Jamal would play.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play.
Right.
Third straight game. Tell me what's going on. How serious is this?
I think that, you know, it's, I mean, I don't think it's serious, but I think he's had some legitimate injury issues that he's played through. And so I think when you think of it that way, Mike, you're like, okay, well, he's had some, you know, he's had some issues and he's had some problems, and they just want to make sure that he is as fresh as possible. Going down the stretch. So I don't think it's one of those things like, oh, we're in trouble. This is not good. But at the same time, I think we've looked at his ability to play over the last, you know, several months and discounted, you know, the Mr. Tibbs, some of the injuries he's had. Because he's had the ankle, he's had the tibia stuff, and he's had some knee irritation yep. a time or two.
Yep.
So I think those things are real.
So is it
obviously?
Is it safe to say then, if I put this in the category of, there's no doubt that once the playoffs, if the playoffs were starting now, he'd be playing.
Correct.
But there would be some concern about his ability to hold up or play at Jamal Murray type levels throughout a long extended playoff grind.
Yeah. Yes. So they're preemptively taking care of him so that come playoff time, he's as good as he can be. He's, you know, feeling fresh, because then there's time between games and things of that nature. So I kind of look at it that way. Like, they're being extra cautious with him. And I think if it were the playoffs today, he'd be playing. But they understand their plans are to play deep into June. So you're talking about end of March right now. So you got all April, all of May, all of June. Basically, you got three months left.
Half of June, yeah, yeah.
So anyhow, that's what they're doing, I believe.
Okay. I got this wrong. Thank you for Brian to remind me. It's every team in baseball wins 60. Every team loses 60. It's what you do in the remaining 40 that matters. You said 100. Yes, I had them playing 220 games. No, it was with the idea that... the good teams are going to win 60 games automatically. It's what you do with the rest of the 100 that determines, are you a 90, 100 win team, that kind of thing.
What did he say, 40?
Well, no, it's...
60 and 40 is 100.
No. I get what... Yeah, no, they are right. Every team wins 60. Every team loses 60. So there's 120 games. We're doing math again, people.
And oh, I get what you do what
with
saying.
The remaining 42 games.
I see what you're saying.
Okay, but with the Rockies, we're not even sure we can get
every
them to 60.
Every team wins and loses 60. So right. everybody's 60 and 60. So what do you do with those other
exactly.
42 games?
He's got a point.
Exactly. So thank you.
All right. Now that makes
sense. But
we
can't even guarantee the Rockies get to 60.
Right. I'm no mathematician, people, but... that one made sense to me.
This one on the Ramoslaw.com text line from Laker Mark. Oh, always enjoy Laker Mark. Laker Mark's starting to strut a little bit with the Lakers yeah. playing
They're
better.
They're peacocking a little bit.
Yep. Man, DJ Mike, you sure can spin it. You spin from big playoff atmosphere to desperate Phoenix. Even Mark said, now is when you send teams a message. Right now, Phoenix is saying they have no problem winning here. Everybody has improved except the Nuggets.
Laker Mark.
Do
we have our Aldo Nova, Life is Just a Fantasy
Laker
music?
Laker Mark, I crave a first-round matchup with the Lakers. Crave it. I'm trying to speak it into existence. Please, 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 please. Yeah.
Everyone's improved.
Although,
especially the Lakers.
Although,
have you looked at us?
Although,
yeah.
Everybody's not-so-favorite Kansas City-based nuisance, Nick Wright, is at it again. We'll hear from him coming up in what's trending in just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that last night's game shows
what we said yesterday, Phoenix is the number one threat to the Nuggets in the West.
I agree with that. Dude, their ability to knock down three-pointers.
Durant's a witch. Yeah. Durant's just a witch. I mean, you can play really, I can think of at least four baskets he made where there was nothing more you could do defensively. It was tremendous defense.
Yeah.
And he just made shots.
Yeah, he'll make shots. Like, he'll make shots. He is, you're right. He's, the guy's incredible. That's Aldo Nova. Life is just a fantasy. Rogue is like, huh? What in the world is that?
No, that's a deep pull.
It's not that deep. That was a very popular song.
It's a deep pull.
In 82, it's a deep Mike. Pull.
It's a deep pull. Now, it's I get that if you like watch March Madness, if you watch NFL football, you'd be amazed at how much bumper music they use that's from like the 70s, okay? Which is kind of surprising, but I don't think I've ever heard this one.
You don't think you've ever heard?
Not on a March Madness NFL broadcast.
City Lights!
or a car commercial. I don't think I've heard it. So you're saying Laker Mark is living a fantasy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's like all of a sudden, the Lakers figured it out.
There you go.
Dude, this is
on my like
opening riff.
All long road trip soundtrack.
Near.
What do you think, bro?
Near.
Yeah. What do you think?
I like it.
All right.
Yeah,
wait till you hear the opening lines, Rogue.
Okay.
Are great. Listen to this. Oh, yeah.
All right. She's first. She's pretty.
Neon lights.
Shining brightly, make a brighter night. Oh, yeah. See the girls with the dresses so tight.
See the girls with the dresses so tight. Love if the price is right.
All right.
Coming up, what's trending? Yep, Nick Wright. Guess what he has to say? He's taking a shot at the Nuggets, sort of. And Paul Bissonnette from TNT, the Spittin' Chicklets.
Yeah.
Oh, he had some great things to say about Nathan MacKinnon. And one of your dearest friends is getting an amazing award.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll tell you all about it coming up next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Well, despite the fact that he called about three or four rage timeouts during the course of the game.
He was angry there a couple times.
Jeez, where were the pearl clutchers who got all upset about Sean yelling at Russ? Because, man, he bolted off that bench a few times just spewing. Wasn't hard. Didn't need to be an accomplished lip reader to
Venom
figure out what was coming there from Michael Malone. But after the game, much more mellow.
This win or loss is not on Reggie Jackson and Colin Gillespie. This is on me and the entirety of the team. You know, give the Phoenix Suns credit for coming in here and beating us again and taking the head-to-head series 2-1. But we had our chances as a collective group, and we just didn't get the job done.
Yeah, didn't want to throw Reggie Jackson, Colin Gillespie filling in for Jamal Murray, who was out for a third straight game. Didn't want to throw him under the bus. The two combined three-point shooting, they were 3 of 13.
So, how many did Reggie hit? Did Reggie hit one?
He hit one.
He hit one.
He was 1 for 7.
Gillespie hit the other two.
Gillespie 2 for 6.
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
Not good. But Gillespie's hair was perfect.
Perfect. Tell you what, I've been binging on Mad Men. John Hamm.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding.
Oh, it's perfect.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
But the hair, the way they wore the hair back then.
Oh, have you watched the remake of Fletch?
No.
With John Hamm?
No.
Oh, dude, tremendous.
Really?
Tremendous.
Okay.
Really, really. I mean, it's a really good, it's good. It's entertaining.
Colin Gillespie would have fit in on Mad Men.
There's no question.
With that hair.
He's got a good suit. The other thing that's funny is when you look, because I did last night, I was like, I wonder how tall Colin Gillespie is, because he looks like he's about 5'8 when he's out there. He's 6'3.
Yeah. NBA players are tall. They really are.
Yeah. He's a lot taller than he looks on the court because he's, you know, dwarfed by guys like Bobo.
Yeah, Bull Bull.
I love Bull Bull knocking down threes.
Man,
that is an awkward looking dude.
Why can't we get players like
that? I don't know.
All right, here we go. Nick Wright. Everybody loves hating Nick Wright because he's Kansas City based and he loves taking his shots at the Nuggets and took an inadvertent shot at the Nuggets when talking about the Lakers.
The Lakers appear to me to have the most upside. Everyone's healthy, everything clicks, all of it. But they can't beat Denver. The Lakers should want Denver in round one. If you have to beat them no matter what, you want them in round two, when you just went 6 or 7 with Minnesota or OKC and they swept whoever they were playing. You want them in round three when the games are every other day, or you want them in round one when there's 2 or 3 days between games at times.
Yep.
LeBron and AD can both play 44 minutes. You are as fresh as you're going to be at any point and try to knock them off when they, you know what I mean, right before they have really hit their stride.
He actually makes sense. If you're strictly looking at this from the Laker
point of view,
he makes sense.
Right. But what happens when, you know, Jokic puts a shoulder down and goes through AD, and AD takes a shoulder to, like, the chest area and comes away with a concussion?
Well, the good news is,
He's out in a wheelchair.
He can be in intensive care for 2 or 3 days in between games instead of just
IVs.
One, you know?
Yeah, head wrapped.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, on its surface, there is some Nugget hate in there, but on its surface, he's 100% right.
Paul Bissonnette, TNT, Spittin' Chiclets podcast, just raving about what he believes is MVP season for Nathan MacKinnon.
This guy's on a different planet. He's in zone 2 post games doing the cardio. He is locked and loaded. He had to dig deep in order to go to a different level, in order to win an MVP trophy while Connor McDavid is in the National Hockey League. This to me makes him a first ballot Hall of Famer in itself.
Huge endorsement. But if he's right, and I don't see any reason to disagree with that, that Nathan MacKinnon has gone to another level, what do you think the motivation was? To win that elusive MVP? Or to get the Az back to winning another Stanley Cup, having tasted what that Stanley Cup feeling is like? What do you think? What do you think the, little bit of both in there, but what do you think the main motivation?
I'm going to go and channel my inner Nacho Libre from Jack Black.
Yes.
I want to win. I just think he wants to win.
I agree with you.
I just think he's wired that way.
You hear these guys, and you can speak to this, that you think that when you win that first championship, there's nothing better until you realize, oh, I want to feel that again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to experience that again.
Because there's nothing that you can experience in a regular season. There's nothing you can experience that feels like lifting that cup. They need some eagle eggs.
Some what?
Eagle eggs.
Eagle legs?
Eagle eggs.
Oh, eagle eggs.
Eggs.
Why do they need eagle eggs?
Because that's what got Jack Black when he wanted to be a luchador.
Oh, okay.
Have you not watched?
Did you see the new
Nacho
Panda,
Libre?
Kung Fu Panda movie?
Yes, I did.
And?
Took the granddaughters.
All right, give us a quick...
It's
smash or trash.
I'm a big Kung Fu Panda guy.
Yeah.
Love.
Have you seen all four of them now?
Come on. I've seen all four, of course.
I saw the first one. I don't think I've seen any of the other ones yet.
Oh, they're all tremendous.
I know. You can't mess up that formula. Finally, I know this one really hits close to your heart. Former Broncos trainer Steve Greek Antonopoulos is being honored by the Pro Football Hall of Fame for his 45 years of service to the Denver Broncos. Safe to say he was much more than just a trainer to you.
Oh, yeah. Greek is my boy. I love. And Greek just did such a phenomenal job of keeping me in the league. We spent so much time. Every morning I was in there at 5 a.m. with Greek. Just me and Greek drinking coffee. We'd play cards. As a matter of fact, one time he had an he had to have his appendix taken out. I think it was his appendix, appendicitis. And I grabbed my cribbage board and went down while he was in recovery and just whipped his ass.
While he was...
Yeah, he's trying to... He's falling asleep. Hey, wake up, wake up. Your move.
Hey.
15-2, 15-4. Yeah, we're playing.
Double run is
What do you call it when you when a guy doesn't count his points right? You can count them and take the extra points. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I had all the
game
going.
Of course. And this was the time you decided let's play 20 cents a point instead of 10
exactly.
cents a point.
Let's up the stakes a little bit, Greek, huh?
Well, congratulations. You gonna go out there? You gonna go out to Cannes with him or?
If I get invited.
Oh, you'll get invited.
Yeah.
Of course you will.
Hey man, congratulations. Greeky Aki. I love that guy, man.
Congratulations. Awesome Bronco. We've had some legendary trainers here in this town, right? You know, Chopper with the Nuggets and Greek here with the Broncos.
I used to bring Avery in when she was just a baby. Like when she was my grandson's age, like 3 years old or 4 years old. And she used to get her ankle, Greek would tape her ankles. And she thought it was the coolest thing.
I bet.
She called him Greeky Aki.
Greeky Aki.
Greeky Aki. Okay.
That is what is trending. Up next, what does the film say as Mark takes a look at Josh Reynolds' game film, the newest Bronco receiver? Also, we'll get to some of our unconventional Rocky prop bets for the upcoming season. That's next.
The eye in the sky don't lie.
I don't like the technique that fat needs to get his feet moving better than that. That just makes me sick and want to throw up. And I promise you, when he came off that field, I ripped his
Time for Stink to use the exclusive game film only the Broncos coaches see to answer the big question. What does the film say?
If I had to go, I'd just go. I'd just pee my pants. I'd be standing in the huddle peeing.
Here's Schlereth and Evans to let Broncos country know. What does the film say?
So with the Broncos surprisingly going out and signing a free agent wide receiver, Josh Reynolds, 2 years, $14 million. We decided to have you take a look at the game film of Josh Reynolds. What does the film say, Mark?
Josh Reynolds is a really good football player. Now, he is, I think one of the things that I do all the time, Mike, is I will look at when I'm getting ready to prepare to watch a game or to call a game, I will look at every catch a guy had over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And so, and I can program that into my Exos Thundercloud. And I can just go, okay, give me all this guy's catches today. All this guy's. So you find that most guys catch the football in an area. They run, a group of routes. And so, as a defensive player, you would say, hey, man, I got to be careful when he's in this split. I got to be careful about this comeback route, or I got to be careful about this in-cutting route. I got to, whatever it is, right? So Josh Reynolds is a guy that got traded from Tennessee in November 2021 to Detroit. And when they released him, he didn't get traded. They released him and Detroit picked him up, excuse me. But as soon as he got released, Jared Goff called the general manager, Brad Holmes, and said, I want this guy. I love this guy. So talking to Jared
They were together
Goff,
for a few years with the Rams.
With the Rams.
Yep.
So talking to Jared Goff about him, I said, well, what is it that makes him special? He goes, he's like the monorail. Like he is like that race car. He's like his ability to run the in-cutting routes. He is like he's on rails. And so he's just great inside route from outside to inside. The intermediate in-cutting routes is where he does the majority of his work. So it makes sense when you think about Sean Payton in the offense that he wants to run. One of the routes that Sean Payton and Drew Brees completed probably seven times a game was just a dagger concept to dig. So you're running, regardless of how you get their formation, whether it's a 2x2 or a 3x1, inside receivers running off coverage, outside receivers cutting in at about 18 yards and catching in that hole. And they were tremendous at throwing this route. That's the route that Josh Reynolds runs. Deep comebacks, you know, inside comebacks, that deep in-cutting dig route. Like, that's where he is, and he's really good at that stuff. And then he's a willing participant in the blocking game. So he's a football player.
Like, you showed me one of his blocks that he made that, honestly, I never recall Jerry Jeudy making one.
Yeah, well, he'll get involved. I mean, he's not a trained killer by any stretch of the imagination, but like,
A
willing participant. And a lot of times what you end up getting into is, you know, when you get into a cut split or a reduced split, you know, you got to go dig out a safety because the safety's down in the box. They're playing a single high safety. They're playing an eight-man front. Yep. And so that becomes your guy. And that's one of the things they call a push crack. Like, you got to push up, keep the corner honest, and then you got to dive inside into the traffic and try to knock that guy out of the way so the back can cut and,
well, you,
and bounce
the
to the outside.
The play you showed me was it was a good enough block that enabled the running back to gain 5 yards.
5 extra yards, right.
Yeah. So just because the receiver was willing to go in there, stick his helmet in there, and make a block.
Get into the briar patch and do something special. So he's a willing participant in that. Like I said, really outside in-cutting routes is kind of what he does best. I think he's a damn good football player. So,
well, that's,
now, a lot of people look at, he had the one drop in the playoff game on a fourth down and three or whatever. He had the drop and cost them that first down or a fourth down and seven, whatever it was. And, you know, I get that, but I think he's a damn good player.
Well, the biggest compliment that you can give a receiver, who you don't typically like them,
yeah,
is calling him a good football player.
Yeah.
That's highest praise that you can hand out. And this is somebody who played 4 years with the Rams and has been in Detroit for 3 years. Sean McVay, Dan Campbell, what do they insist upon? Their receivers need a block.
Well, one of the things they always talk about is grit.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell's like he defines it. You can go find it on the internet. He'll all talk about grit all the time. And so he's a gritty player. So I've talked to Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, about him. I've talked to Jared Goff about him. I've talked to Dan Campbell about him. And they all say the same thing, man. And you know, this guy was coming on. I'm surprised they didn't re-sign him. But they've got a couple of young receivers that they like, you know, that they're not gonna have to pay as much money to. And because Jameson Williams came on last year, really played well toward the second half of the season. Obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown's a star. They've got, you know, they've got the receiver in Sam Laporta, who's a really good player. And they've got a couple of young guys that they like that started playing toward the end of the season. So, you know, why not pay a young guy $1 million as opposed to paying a veteran guy, you know, $7 million? So that's I know why they moved on, but let me just tell you, they really, really liked him.
So, as you see the moves, they haven't been making splashy moves this offseason, but as you see the moves that they have made with free agency, with the players they brought back, are you starting to find a common thread as to how Sean Payton's putting his stamp on this team in terms of the type of player he wants? Anything standing out yet?
Well,
connecting dots?
I mean, you're connecting guys that guys that have played for him and guys that fill roles that, to me, that do things that he wants to do as an offense, things that they didn't do last year. So that is, I mean, that's legit.
Maybe a little bit more toughness. As you say, he's a football player. Are you seeing more football players come in as opposed to track stars and
I mean, that is typical of what Sean wants, and unselfish guys like the Roach kid that they signed, man. That guy's a great rotational player, a really good run defender, knows what he is, right? He's not fighting to be like, not gonna fight to be, I'm the superstar, you know. He's not that guy. Reynolds is that way as well.
Brandon Jones kind of strikes me as that kind of player too. Yeah. On the Ramoslav.com text line reaction, Reynolds is a perfect fit for the Broncos. Good player August through December, but can't catch a cold in January. Tell you what, we'll worry about January. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, okay? I'll take good from August through December.
I'll worry
about January down the road.
Like,
okay?
I said, he dropped that one in the playoffs, and everybody looks at that. You know, and should he have got it? Damn right he should have got it. Again, there were so many things about that game that erred on the side of just really bad decisions by Dan Campbell in my mind. And, you know, Dan will own those things. It's not a deuce split. It's a reduced split, not a deuce split, texter.
Yeah, but you got to appreciate the texter jumping on that.
Yeah, you're right.
And seeing the potential for a deuce split.
Yeah, deuce split. No, it's not pinching one off.
I thought we could have just left it at deuce split. I don't think you had to further explain it, but hey, you being you, you do.
Wow.
Yeah. Mark, are you saying right now that you'd rather have Josh Reynolds over Jerry Jeudy?
100 out of 100 times. Next question.
Oh, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
We're having some fun today, because otherwise, how else are we going to get through a rocky season than trying to have some fun?
Mm-hmm.
With them kicking off their season tonight in Arizona, you know, every sport, you know, they put out their favorite prop bets, right?
Yeah.
Win totals, home runs.
Right.
Wins, things like that. So we decided to challenge you, the great texters, famous for your creativity, your humor, your snark, to come up with some Colorado Rocky prop bets that only our listeners can come up with. And we're going to keep track of these throughout the course of the season, okay. See how they do.
All right.
All right, ready for some?
These
are from our listeners. Chris Bryant over under 1.5 injuries from sleeping on a bad mattress.
He's already used that one.
Well, yeah.
So,
you think he has to come up with another one?
I think he's got to come up with a different bad excuse.
He can't go back to the same one.
Right.
That's true. How many times can you use the old prison bed excuse?
Right.
Right.
I mean, that guy he's got to miss how many weeks because he slept on a bad bed. Then he sneezed and threw his neck out for 3 weeks. That dude's one hard fart away from being paralyzed. May never walk again.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, my. Woo, that was funny. One hard fart away from being paralyzed. Somebody spit their coffee out just now. Somebody.
We were hoping for the best on this one.
Somebody out there just had a coffee spit. All There's right. no doubt in my mind. Okay, I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Over under how many rehab games will Chris Bryant play in Albuquerque this year?
Oh.
Fine, I can play, I swear.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That is a good
Let's
one.
Let's set a number. Write this one down, Fever. Over under rehab games in Albuquerque.
12.
For the Isotopes. All right, 12 and a half. We always put the hook in there.
Yeah, 12 and a half.
All right, write that down. 12 and a half over under for Chris Bryant.
Over or under that?
Over.
Me too.
Over. I like this one.
Uh-huh.
How many times will Mark mow his lawn during the Rocky season? More or less than the amount of wins for the Rockies?
Ooh.
So, Rockies wins or number of times you mow your lawn during the Rocky season? What's higher?
Okay, so we're talking April through September, right?
Yes.
That's all April, May, June, April, May, June,
remember,
July.
You're starting from zero.
August. Here. Yeah, this is what gets me confused. And September. So that's 6 months.
6 months.
6 months average.
What do you average?
About 2.5 times per week.
All right. So let's say.
It's like every third day.
What, 12 times a month?
Yeah.
All right. So that's 70. Oof.
No.
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 We can't even play that prop.
Can't even play that prop.
Because I'll mow my lawn over 70 times.
You're going to mow your lawn over 70 times from April through September.
Yeah.
That's sick.
How do you mow your lawn half a time?
No. I do it every third day, so it averages out. I'd let 2 days go, and then I mow it on the third day. So
what?
I don't mow half of my lawn, but I'm like, so if I mow Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll mow Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I might mow Sunday again. right? And then it goes
so that's
Sunday,
three
Monday,
times
Tuesday.
In a week.
Yeah, but then the next week I go Monday, Tuesday, and I'll throw mow Wednesday. Wednesday I'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then I won't mow again until right. Tuesday.
So
the
two
next
times
week.
That week.
So like it's like about
come on,
two and a half
Avery's
times.
Avery's got a system down. Listen to him. It's totally normal, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, right. All right, I like this one. Over under 1.5 Drew Goodman deck shots that sound like something else.
I'm going to go over.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over.
I like that one.
Okay, please, just got a text from Bud. 8:45, he's going to join
all
us.
All right, I like it.
Deck shot.
All right. Rockies prop. Number of games the Rockies record is over 500 during the season. I'm going to put 0.5 games. Meaning if they win tonight, you cash out.
Yeah.
Number of games the Rockies record is over 500 this season. They actually typically get off to a pretty good start.
Well, they got four against Arizona, right?
Yes, to start the season.
It's over 500.
Yes, to be over 500. 1-0, 2-1, 30-29.
0.5?
It's basically you're saying one time. One
they
time
start,
they're over 500.
So they could start 1-0 or they could start 2-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take the over.
Okay. We got to go a little higher than just one time over 500.
We do?
Yeah. I mean, it's early in the season. You can, or you only want to go one time? Is that what you're
going
to go with?
If you're going higher than that, I'm going to take the under.
Finally, this one. I like this one. We're definitely going to do this one. Rockies versus Nuggets for most regular season wins.
Ooh, Nuggets on pace to get about 58 and set the record for
right,
themselves.
Right,
they're at 57 is their record.
Yeah, and the Rockies over-under is like 59.5 on most sites.
I like it. I'm going under.
You're
going
to take the Nuggets
I'm
to win
the
more
Nuggets
games.
To win more games.
Okay. All right. We'll keep track of all these. Write them down. Send those in. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. And on the RamosLaw.com text line, it was me. I spit my coffee. Thanks, Stink.